Good morning, sunrise. How are you? I guess I have a little summer cold, so we'll work it through. So glad to be here again with you. My name is Jeff Kreiser, and I'm the director of the Acts Group. And if you've been here the last number of weeks, you know that we're moving through a series on neighboring. And I've had the joy and opportunity of working with Pastor Greg on preparing that, and then coming and bringing some of those messages to you here on Sunday mornings. For those of you who've been on vacation or out, or you're new to Sunrise, we've provided a guidebook, which you can get on a table out in the foyer in the lobby area, near a map. And many of you, well over 200 individuals and families, have actually placed your name on that map saying, I want to be part of taking this neighboring challenge and being part of this experience, not only for the summer, but kind of pushing our vision outward as a church to those people who are around us. We've taken opportunity in the first two messages in the series to talk about two very important truths, so I just want to bring those to your attention again. First, every person matters. Really, each person does. And the very first message, we talked about the fact that most of us have a love problem. That we are challenged in terms of really loving everyone. If God really loves everyone, we're challenged as those who know Jesus Christ and follow him to love everyone as well. But how do we do that? Well, we have to receive the love that God has for us and be able to then begin to express that love to others. And then Pastor Greg last week talked about embracing the journey. The idea that over grace, truth, and time, we're able to engage people where they are in their faith journey. And we have these five signs here in front of you that talk about the fact that every person starts either resistant to God or uninterested in God, and then moves into a spot of curiosity, and then to a place where they understand saving grace, and experience a new relationship with Christ. They grow in that faith in Christ, and really we're called then to begin to guide and help people and know that we're helping disciple and grow people who know Jesus, but also we're willing to go out to our family, to our neighbors, even to our enemies and say, you know what, we are going to be the people who help them to begin to know the God who we know. Today, what we want to talk about is this idea of faith steps, the idea that God is asking us in this journey and helping people move stage to stage and in our own growth, that happens through steps of faith. I've worked with this group called the Mission Hub team. Mission Hub team developed the Mission Hub app. It's Crew Digital Products and Services based in Orlando. For those of you who've been around Christianity for a while, you knew the organization as Campus Crusade for Christ. How many people know that name? Very good. And renamed Crew to shorten that up and kind of move forward in terms of the new vision that carried into the 2000s. And this digital products and services team has created this Mission Hub app from which a lot of these ideas kind of are founded and grounded. One of the favorite phrases of this team is, every person matters, every step counts. As we walk with God by faith, each step is a chance to join God in showing real love in deeds and words. So we're going to talk today about the nature of faith and about this idea of taking steps of faith that grow us in our relationship with God, but also show God and share God with those who are around us. Now, summer is often a big movie season, and people go to see movies, and they roll out some blockbusters. It's kind of been semi a dud this summer. There have been a couple of good ones, but, you know, occasionally Hollywood gets it right. And I want to show you this clip from a movie quite a number of years ago, but with a very famous character that you'll recognize right away. Let's watch the clip.
Impossible. jump this.
Indy! Indy, you must hurry! Come quickly!
It's a leap of faith. But you must believe, boy. You must believe.
So sometimes Hollywood gets it right, right? And I want to share with you a couple of things in terms of that clip that actually probably the screenwriters read the Bible. They looked at some real truths about what faith is, and we were going to talk about those. But I want to say one thing. You know, when Indiana Jones was on the end and he was going to take that step, don't worry, I'm not going to do it. There's no bridge there. When you take that step, you know, what was happening inside him? What did you feel a little bit inside you? Did you feel a little bit of anxiety? Was there fear? You know, when was the last time you tried to do something you knew you couldn't do? That was that situation. Because faith involves something bigger than me. And it's a struggle, honestly. It's a mental game. It's an internal battle that happens. And as we've talked about in each message in this series, there's someone who's trying to hinder you from taking those steps of faith that are going to help people move along in their faith journey and even hinder you from knowing God in the way that God wants to know you. It's the liar. It's the enemy of our souls. And there's a sneaky lie that says this: God won't come through for me when I take the risk. And we become afraid to fail, so we fail to try. You know, I've had to ask myself many, many times, am I operating from fear that pulls me back, or am I operating from faith that allows me to take another step with God? We have to address fear honestly and understand that the flip side of fear is faith. Hear this, and I'll remind you at the end. Faith isn't the absence of fear. It's just that fear doesn't win. Amen? Faith isn't the absence of fear. It's that fear doesn't win. So what can we learn from Indiana Jones and the scripture? Let's just run through three things. So if you want to use your note page that's in the worship folder that you got, you can write these down. First is... faith goes beyond what we can know from our five senses. Faith goes beyond what we can know from our five senses. He sees, hears, watches, smells, sees a chasm, not a bridge. There's no way to leap it. It's impossible. Second thing, the object of faith helps us trust the step. I love this. I love that the screenwriters thought this through. He's holding a book. Guess what? It's his father's journal. Some of you are holding a book. It's your father's journal. It's called the Bible, right? And he took from that the picture and his father's encouragement. Just believe. Just believe. And he took the step. But notice, too, that the third thing is so important. Motivation for faith is others, not self. Why was Indiana Jones taking that step? Because he had to cross that bridge to get the cup of healing, which it was the chalice, the Holy Grail, the blood of Christ, right? That would help heal his father who was mortally wounded. The blood of Christ saves people from death. And it's a reason to take that step of faith. And these same three things are true in Scripture. Are you ready? Hebrews 11 and 12 are famous passage. Hebrews 11, oftentimes called the Hall of Faith, because it lists so many people who, when they got to that edge, they said, I am going to take that step of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 and 2 talk about the truth. Faith goes beyond what we know by our five senses. Folks, you know Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. Having the Spirit of God in you gives you a true sixth sense, not a Hollywood version, but gives you this experience with what we can't see that is as real as what we can see. Hebrews 11, 1 and 2 says this. You'll see it up on the screen. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. God said, go to a land that you haven't seen, heard, smelled, touched, and I will reward you. And he got up the next day, and he left. Faith is confidence and assurance. We don't see, but we believe. New Testament, Gospel of John, well-known passage, chapter 20, verses 28 and 29, encounter with Thomas after the resurrection. Thomas saying, I need to experience this thing with my five senses. Unless I touch, see, smell, hear Jesus, I'm not going to believe that he's resurrected. And Jesus comes and allows him to experience in the natural his resurrected glory. But what is the famous phrase that Jesus says to Thomas? Blessed are you, Thomas, but blessed more are those who don't see and yet believe. The second truth if we find in Hebrews 11, 6 and chapter 12, verse 1. The object of faith helps us trust the step. The object of faith helps us trust the step. Chapter 11, verse 6 says this. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he's a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. Do you believe that God exists? That there is a God, that there's a true and living God, that there's a most high God, that there's the one who is God, and it's not us, that he exists, and that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. In other words, he is the one who actually lives in intimate relationship with you and will be with you here, or when you're on the plane, or when you're in that country far off. This is God, and he rewards those who earnestly seek him, who step toward him. Chapter 12, after listing so many examples of this faith from the Old Testament, we get to these words in chapter 12. Therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on, say it with me, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Do you ever think about Jesus as a man of faith? Why did Jesus have to have faith if he's God? Because as fully man and fully God, he lived on this earth to show us the way. Therefore, as it says in Philippians chapter 2, he laid aside the rights that he had as God as he lived on the earth, living fully as a human being and saying that he was going to live in this relationship that he had with the Father by faith. And God's big plan, the biggest plan of all the history and all the universe of salvation for all the people who would believe in Jesus Christ because of his death and his resurrection, seeing beyond Gethsemane, Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, is the one whom we can look to, who looked beyond the moment and the experience of the five senses, which were so awful and painful and horrible. We'll talk about that in a minute. How well do you know Jesus? Honestly, this one is so key. Our faith will grow as we know the one in whom we believe. And no matter where you are on this journey, no matter your age or stage of life, there's a new and fresh way that God wants you to know him and be known by him. As you have heard, if you've been with us before, we're recommending books each along the stage. And Pastor Greg and I are pretty stoked because all of the copies of Bob Goff's Everybody Always were taken. And one even person read it and brought it back so more people could read it. It's a free lending library. So if you have a book, read it, bring it back so someone else can read it. And then Godspace, all the books are gone. Now, I'm expecting this to happen again. This is a book called Dinner with a Perfect Stranger. It will help you in two ways. One, it'll help you know Jesus in a new way, the author and perfecter of your faith. But the other will be, how does Jesus talk to people who are on this side of the spectrum? How would Jesus do that? This is a book that imagines how Jesus would talk with someone who really needs to know him or for the first time. Let's look at that third one. Motivation for faith is others and not self. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. We want to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, but we need to go beyond that. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, that you will not grow weary and lose heart. We're not going to grow weary and lose heart in our journey of faith with this cloud of witnesses that Jesus has already saved and is observing us. For the joy set before Jesus, which was you and me in terms of our own life and salvation with God. The motivation for Jesus to take the step of faith to go to the cross. For his resurrection glory, for his waiting and yet coming again, is that he desires for all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. We talked about that in our first message. Isn't this awesome? Steps of faith. This is how our faith is going to grow. These are truths that are grounded in Scripture and even stolen by Hollywood to make into a movie that we can understand these things. But I also want to share with you three kind of facts about faith. Maybe we don't think about these as often, but they're very true, and they're going to help us to be able to have the courage to take these steps of faith together. Let's go through them quickly. First, faith is a reality for all people. Three key faith facts. Faith is a reality for all people. I live by faith, whether I acknowledge it or not. So every one of us here in this congregation, you live by faith. It really does matter what the object of your faith is or how your faith is exercised, but you lived by faith on your way here today. Maybe a few of you walked, but most of us came by car, correct? You had faith in your ability to drive. You had faith in yourself. You had faith that the other drivers had an ability to drive. You had faith in the signs that were posted on the roads that told people which direction to go or when to go. You had faith in our system of laws, right, that allows us to have an agreement together about how to travel safely on the roads. Everybody with me? Many, many people drive. Many people fly. When you get on a plane, you have faith in the people who built the plane. You have faith in the maintenance crews who maintain the plane. You have faith in the pilot and co-pilot and their training to fly the plane. You have faith in the air traffic control to make sure all the planes have a safe distance from each other. Some of you have already been on a plane. Some of you are going to be on some planes, right? We live by faith. These are common human experiences, right? So everybody lives by faith. The question is the object of your faith. Is your faith in yourself alone? Is your faith in systems that have been set up to organize things? Or does your faith go beyond that to be able to know God? Second key fact of faith. Faith is grounded in humility. Faith says, I'm not enough. Maybe we could say that together. I'm not enough. Ready? I am not enough. That's a very humbling statement, right? Now, in the natural, we can know this very easily when we face a health issue or other things that you need help at times in your life. Amen? That I'm not enough. Definitely, faith in God says, I'm not enough. The world's not enough. The world's systems are not enough. I need God. I need his grace. I need his spirit. And we'll meet God in our everyday walking around life when we humble ourselves and say, God, I need you. I'm engaging my faith in you so that I can know you. Third fact, faith can grow stronger or weaker. The idea here is to walk by faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 is a very famous short little verse that says, we walk by faith and not by sight. If you go back and read that whole passage, it's grounded in this whole idea that 100% of the people in this room are going to die. Every one of us are going to take a last breath. That's a big leap of faith, right? You don't know what's going to happen on the other side, but you're saying, I'm believing as I walk through life that when I take that last step, this God whom I've known in life is going to be with me in that transition into the life that he promises to give me through Jesus Christ. We walk by faith. When we walk by faith, we get stronger. How many of you live in neighborhoods where people walk? A lot of you. Apartment complexes. How many of them are people walking dogs? Honestly, really. Our dogs help us stay healthy, honestly. We're walking, we're staying healthy, we're getting stronger. I also go to a gym where I can lift weights, right? When I lift a weight, it creates resistance against my muscles. The resistance against my muscles actually makes me stronger. You know, when you walk by faith, when you live by faith, you are probably going to experience resistance. But that resistance, internal or external, is going to allow you to become strong and follow the Lord. I want to share with you, as we have considered this idea of faith, something that we've put together and that actually Pastor Greg's going to talk about a bit more next week when he talks specifically about steps of faith we take. But it's a little grid that talks about the good and the gospel. This is faith steps in everyday life. We want to talk about the good and we want to talk about the gospel. So let me first define to you this idea of good. Good is the good we can do or anyone can do. Everybody following me? Does everybody here realize people of all different kinds, all different backgrounds, whatever, could do good things? There's steps that are taken from goodwill. So if there's a hungry person, someone can feed that person. It could be a scoundrel. It could be a person of another religion. It could be a Christian, right? But it's good that someone's hungry and now they're not hungry. Amen? It's a simple act of doing good. The will is the decision and act by a person to do something positive with someone else. Okay? Let's flip this then and think about gospel, right? So good is what everyone can do. It's natural that somebody could choose to make a good choice. Gospel is that which requires me and God. These aren't steps from goodwill, the willful choice that I make, but these are steps from good faith in the God who I know. Faith is joining God in what he's doing. It's not natural. It's supernatural. It's supernatural to do gospel deeds and gospel words. We're going to show you now this little grid that we're going to talk about the next week as well. This idea of gospel and good deeds and words. This is in the guidebook as well, as if you got it. So you can see on the bottom left quadrant, good deeds. The bottom right quadrant, good words. Good deeds on a large scale would be like Tom's shoes. Selling shoes, making sure shoes are on people so that they don't contract diseases as they walk around in their area. Locally, it would be big day of service. A lot of good service projects that happened here a few weeks ago. Good words would be any and all positive edifying speech. Okay, let's flip over to the next grid slide. Now, upper left, gospel deeds, and upper right, gospel words. Gospel deeds, and again, Pastor Greg's going to get into this a little more next week, but it's sacrifice, it's signs, it's forgiveness, faith is required, it looks like generosity. It's demonstration and it's doing things in the name of Jesus. This little phrase that Jesus threw out there, you know, if you give a cup of cold water in my name, right, you've done it to me. So part of it is motivation and part of it is doing things where people go, that's not normal. That's not natural. Why would you do something like that? Well, your faith and the knowledge you have of God leads you to do that. And gospel words have to do with questions that create curiosity and truths about God from Scripture. So we act out our faith in these ways. This grid gets filled out, this next slide, where you can kind of see this. We're going to detail a little bit more about what actual steps can happen in those different quadrants. But just for this week, we want you to think about this acts of goodwill, right? The bottom, good deeds and good words. Acts of goodwill build goodwill with people. It's good for you to do good things, people of God. Did you hear me? It's good to do good. But what that does is it builds goodwill. But ultimately, it's wanting to lead us somewhere to help people build good faith in the God whom we know. So our good deeds need to progress to gospel deeds. Our gospel deeds can point to the God whom we know that lead to gospel words. Our good words can lead to gospel words that are going to be able to build people to know the God whom we know. And then our faith grows and their faith grows. What holds us back? What keeps us in the good columns? Or maybe not even there, but not doing anything. We're afraid, right? Let's look at this slide and we're going to say this out loud. Next slide. Let's read it together. Faith isn't the absence of fear. It's just that fear doesn't win. We recognize the challenges that doing steps of faith brings. It's a daunting thing. And I was in Scripture and I read this statement from one of the ancients that were commended from their faith, David. He says this, if you want to write it down, in Psalm 55, verses 3 and 4. When I'm afraid, not if I'm afraid. Think of David, warrior King David, killer of lions and bears, David, standing against Goliath, David. Everybody with me? Not if I'm afraid. When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. Object of faith. In God whose word I praise, in God I trust and am not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Our fear relates to man, but our faith is in God. So let's renounce this lie. We've been teaching you about renouncing and pronouncing. Renouncing the lie, if you want to read this with me, God won't come through for me when I take the risk. We renounce that in the name of Jesus. God will come through for you. He came through for those people in the Hall of Faith. And we are the contemporary hall of faith with a cloud of witnesses and our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, walking it out in Fair Oaks and Orangeville and Citrus Heights and the surrounding community wherever you live. And we want to pronounce the truth. It's part of our neighboring challenge. So read this with me. Next slide. There it is. Read with me. I will move forward trusting God will come through. I will move forward trusting that God will come through. God's been there for you before. Remember. Do you remember those times? And as you take these steps of faith, as we become good neighbors, great neighbors, and people who show who this great God is that we know, we are going to see the move of God in our lives and through our lives as we grow in Him. Lord God, thank you that we can continue on this journey of considering these truths about who you are and how we walk in life. We pray, God, and thank you that you're the God who comes through, that as we believe you exist and you reward us as we earnestly seek you, we're going to know you in our everyday life as we take these steps of faith. God, we're deeply grateful, and we ask, God, for the faith and the strength to be able to walk this out. In Jesus' name, amen. As you know, in our series, we've been doing some Q&A, so you're able to text in your questions to that phone number. We've got one, I know, and then we've got others. If you want to be texting in questions about what we went through today, please do that, and Pastor Greg and I will do our best to answer them.
Yeah, we've got a lot. You guys have been doing a great job texting this morning. What do we have, Rachel?
Well, let's see. I always like to play stump the pastor, so.
This is the exciting time.
Okay. How do I know that the step I'm taking is toward God and not choosing my own path?
Isn't that a common fear? So I walk forward in faith, but what if I'm walking in the wrong direction? I think some aspects of that are, one, humility. Am I willing to let God redirect me if I'm going the wrong way? A second one is just listening. Am I listening to God, or am I just charging in whatever direction I thought was the right direction? And kind of see it, if there's a destiny and you start a little bit this way, but in the process of running towards God, he directs you towards the destiny, that's still walking by faith towards the destiny. So sometimes you can feel like, oh, I got to get it just right. God can handle you're a little bit off trajectory. So I think the bigger question isn't, do I get it just right? It's, am I listening to God? Am I responding to God? Which is also a discipline you can grow. Am I still or am I moving? If you're moving and your heart's towards God and you're listening to God, God will direct you to where he's taking you.
Yeah, and just to add in, again, the Father's journal, he's got very clear directions for us about steps of faith. So you can measure what's been put on your heart or mind by the Spirit of God, and it's the Word and Spirit, right? So you're going to the truth of the Word of God to cross-check yourself, and also being in relationships with others of faith and being able to humble yourself to say, hey, I'm looking to take this step of faith in my life in this arena or realm or in this relationship at work or with this neighbor. What wisdom can you give me from the Word or from your own walk with the Lord in terms of how that would look?
Are you ready for more?
Sounds good.
Okay. How do I share my faith when I actually still struggle with my faith?
Who here doesn't struggle with their faith? It's a little bit of a tricky question, because if you're waiting to have it all figured out before you share your faith, you're going to be sitting around for a while. But at the same time, I think faith is all about the object that it's placed in. So I come back to just, what do I do with Jesus? Start with Jesus. Have I encountered Jesus? Have I seen Jesus? What do I know about Jesus? What can I share with others about Jesus? And if I know a little bit about Jesus and have experienced a little bit of Jesus in my life, that's enough for me to start to share my faith. Consider the woman at the well. It's exactly what happened. She had an encounter with Jesus. It changed her life. She became the most effective evangelist in town. She didn't have it all figured out. She didn't know all the answers. But I would say, you know, if you're wrestling with some cursory issues of the Christian faith and life and practice and things like that, that doesn't need to hold you back. If you're wrestling with Jesus, wrestle with Jesus. Mm-hmm. Figure out the foundation. Figure out where you are with him. And then respond to him. And one of the best ways to respond to what he's done in your life is to tell others about it.
Yeah. You know, I like to think sometimes that people have come to faith around me not because of me, but in spite of me. Pastor Greg shared very effectively last week, and if you haven't yet, jump online and listen to it if you missed it, talking about, you know, part of this idea of embracing the journey is embracing the mess and pain. Our faith is growing. I've grown more in my faith now than I did a week ago or 5 years ago or 20 years ago. We want to keep growing in our faith. But that's a journey in and of itself with a destination in Christ's presence after we take our last breath. Amen. So you have to start wherever you are. Like Pastor Greg just shared with this, the woman at the well, she still had a reputation. There still were all kinds of issues, but she met Jesus and she was ready to share what she did know or the faith that she did have. Start.
It seems that feelings often stand in the way of faith. Fear, anger, jealousy, self-image problems. Is walking by faith walking without regard to your feelings, or do they actually play a part?
I think a lot of times our faith has to overcome our feelings. This is where our Campus Crusade for Christ brothers and sisters could help us out, or Bill Bright helped us out, the founder. You know, he had the little train illustration about what leads our life, right? And the idea of fact, faith, and feelings. And so the fact is the facts that we've talked about today, the truths of Scripture, that's going to keep going no matter what. That's the engine. We attach ourselves to that. We're attaching ourselves to something that's beyond us and that's true and that's powerful, right? And then our feelings can come along, and our feelings are fickle. My feelings are fickle. You know, some days I feel like it and some days I don't, and maybe more days I don't feel like it than I do. But if I can wake up and say, I'm going to look at the facts and I'm going to attach my faith to those facts and those truths, then that helps me manage my feelings.
Yeah, there's something about feelings that can kind of reveal what's true of the world around you or even clue you in. Some people are highly intuitive. So sometimes you need to listen to those things. Mm-hmm. But if I let my feelings dictate what's true, I would probably never share my faith, and I'd probably never get up on this stage. And God's called me to share my faith and get up on this stage. And so you have to ask for yourself, what has God called you to? Some things are explicit in Scripture, and some things are part of the ministry that he gives you. And the cool thing is I have found that the most powerful ministry experiences weren't the ones that were easy and natural, but were the ones where by trusting in God and the power of his Spirit, the choice was made to walk by faith instead of just letting the emotions dictate what was true and holding back.
One last question. I get tangled up a lot in everyday life. Can you give me an example of a practical way that I can step in faith toward God? So earlier you were talking about different ways when you answered a question. So what are some practical things we could do to take those steps?
You want to hit first? Well, again, Greg and I were laughing as we were working on these messages because this week is Steps of Faith and next week is Every Step Counts. Right? So we're kind of two weeks on this. And the idea of every step counts, like Indiana Jones, honestly, he was taking a leap of faith. Thank you, Lord, that God doesn't often ask us to call the leaps of faith. He asks us to take steps of faith, right? Steps of faith are easier than leaps of faith. Very practically, in terms of the step of faith in your life, narrow it down to one thing or one neighbor, especially as we're talking about in this series, neighboring, right? We asked you to fill that grid out of all the neighbors around you. Maybe you have their names. That's a little bit overwhelming. there's a lot going on in life, like the questioner asked, right? And so just narrow it down to one neighbor and ask God, just ask God, God, what is one thing that I can do to do a good deed or bring good words to them? Or are you asking me to begin to do gospel deeds or gospel words? We'll unpack that a little bit more next week. But narrow it down to one person or one point or one thing and really ask God, what do you want me to do in that? And then you won't be overwhelmed because you're in that focused moment.
Yeah, I hesitate to give one answer because I don't know what the next step is for you. I feel a little bit more like a cheerleader than like the coach calling the plays in that regard. But I want to give two resources that can really help with this. One, it's okay to go ahead in your guidebook. And if you don't have your guidebook for this series, they're out in the foyer. You can pick it up after the service. But like Jeff said, next week in the Good to Gospel grid, there's 12 examples of steps of faith and where they fit in that grid. So if you want to skip ahead, forward a few pages, there's some practical examples. And there's even an exercise to chart what were the steps others took in your life that moved you towards Jesus. And then after this service, and also next week after this service, right over here in B107, just out those doors, we're going to have a short training for the Mission Hub app. You've seen a little bit about that during this series. We're going to have a little bit more and have a training that's available to you. This is an app that helps you take steps of faith with your friends based on where they are in their spiritual journey. And it'll give you suggested steps of faith and space for you to fill in your own step of faith. So you could call this the training wheels of faith, if you will. And so if you're one of those people in the room today who's like, I don't know what a good step would be, come join us after the service over there, and we'll show you a tool that can just help you walk along the way and take steps of faith. And you'll find that as you grow in that, then the training wheels will become less and less necessary, and these steps of faith will just become more second nature to you.
That's good. Good. Thank you so much. We want to be able to, as we wrap up today, Pastor Greg shared, we want to remind you about the neighboring challenge. I think we have a slide for neighboring challenge. If we go forward one slide, or it might not be there. But there is a neighboring challenge in the back of the... Oh, there's the neighboring challenge. So again, what we're asking you to do, again, this isn't just for summer of 2019, but this is a grid that you can live from as you move forward in life through the rest of the summer, the rest of the year, and in the years ahead, that these ideas of what that challenge is. We're in the middle section today, moving forward, trusting God will come through. We have two more. But the goal there is so that others around me may experience and know Jesus Christ. And so our heart as followers of Jesus Christ, your heart collectively as Sunrise Community Church is that last line. Amen? That others around me may experience and know Jesus Christ. That is our church's, this church's existence is to help that happen. And we're believing God that as we take these steps, that's true. The Mission Hub training, again, for some of you, you're used to using apps on your phone. It's enormously helpful to be able to understand how steps of faith are working, who are the people that you're focused on. You can come to the training afterward. You can pick up a book on the way out. But this is where we're headed. Pastor Greg? It's all me. Let's stand up together. I'm going to pray a blessing over us as we close our time together. Very good. Lord God, thank you for this morning, the journey that we're on. We pray that you would increase our faith. Lord, as we look to you, we pray, God, that confidence would grow. God, that fear would be sidelined and eliminated. And God, that we would experience you in new ways we never have before as we walk in faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week.